Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of the Beatitudes, we were talking about the folly of a man trying to do things through his own power and knowledge. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The glory of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see Christ, we're looking at God's glory. And so when we compare ourselves with others, God doesn't compare himself with somebody you perceive to be a hypocrite. And why do you like to compare yourself with hypocrite? No, that's not the way the Lord works. He compares us with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the measuring stick, and that's where we all fall short. So praise the Lord Jesus Christ that our salvation rests not upon our keeping, but rather through the grace and mercy of God. He keeps us from falling, Jude verse 24 tells us. And isn't that a wonderful promise? He keeps us from falling. Now in Luke 17:10, we must admit, just like that unworthy and unprofitable servant, that after we've done all that we're supposed to do, and we do our best, we're still at best unworthy and unprofitable. Now, if keeping our salvation was in our own hands, you realize that we commit enough sins in one day to send us to hell. You'd not be able to keep your salvation for a day. We need to think better than the Christian that has the not-so-bad attitude. He looks at sin, well, it's not that bad. Well, it is in God's sight. It's bad in God's sight, whether it's bad in our sight or not. Just realize each of us sin enough to send us to hell. Now, I've been married 42 years, going on 43 years here. Right after I was first married, we moved to North Carolina, leaving Ocala, Florida, to go up there to the mountains. And I remember I had a little Opel Kadett car, and that thing knew about 60 to 65 top end, you know, when I had that thing wide open. But I was going to pull a large U-Haul with it, that little four-cylinder car. Well, my father told me, son, I don't think that'll go. And then there's a auto mechanic, a master auto mechanic that was a member of our church. He said the same thing. But I drove it anyway, pulling the U-Haul, because as a 20-year-old, I knew better than those two men did. And we made it about 50 miles down the road. And then we kept just going about 20 miles an hour when things started falling apart, and made it to Valdosta, Georgia, just across the Florida state line. And the transmission went out on me completely. And so I ended up riding a Greyhound, my wife and I riding a Greyhound bus to North Carolina, and used my mother-in-law's car to come back and pick up our U-Haul and to pick up our car that had broken down. My pride had said that I can do it, but I was wrong. And you see, sometimes we try to measure everything by our own wisdom. And really, just like I ignored the wisdom of my father and the wisdom of a master mechanic, too often we ignore the wisdom of God. And we look only at what we think instead of seeing what God thinks. We must never forget as Christians, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies. Again, we're looking at blessed are the merciful. It is of the Lord's mercies. Mercies, plural. We need plural mercies. And if a mercy is only a singular act, then you're not merciful. Okay, so mercy is a continuous thing. So he says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Have you ever thought about this? You are saved by grace, but you also live your Christian life by grace, not by your own inherent power and goodness. It's only the mercy of God that doesn't remove us immediately from those works that we begin in his name, because we're not really fully adequate. Understand that by grace you're saved, and by grace you're kept. Now, I realize that God has been so good to me, and he's given me people as Brother Vaught and Brother Hopper, who make this radio program go up so far, you know, with the work they do. They actually work harder on this than I do, and yet they do it for the Lord. They're men of God, and sometimes I just wonder if when we get to heaven, they'll have a place far above mine, not just above mine, far above mine. They like to stay behind the scenes, but boy, what they do behind the scenes is tremendous. And I realize that, you know, God supplied those men for this ministry. And this ministry has spread to where now it's been heard in 156 foreign countries. I didn't know how to do that. And if I set out to do it again, I still wouldn't know how to do it. You see, my friend, God's done it all. I can't do it. I'm leading this Lamp and Light ministry by the grace of God, and his mercy is what keeps this ministry going. Now, let us turn our attention to the mercy of God in the teachings of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, we have the famous story of the Pharisee and the publican that goes up to the temple to pray. Now, you've heard that story probably many times. And as we think on that story, it's one where the publican sees the sinner praying there, and he starts praying, "Lord, thank you that I'm not like this guy is. Boy, look what I do for you, God. I fast, I tithe, and I do this, and I do that." And the only thing that publican could say is, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Well, Christ let us know that it was that publican that went back to his house justified. And boy, sometimes that's hard for people to grasp that, wait a minute, the publican was justified when the Pharisee had all these good standards. Well, the Pharisee was thanking God for his pious life, and he obviously thought that it was his goodness and his own grace that accomplished it, not the grace of God. This was a man that never asked for forgiveness or mercy. As a matter of fact, I think that sometimes forgiveness and mercy are somewhat synonymous, and they seem to be just two sides of the same coin. Mercy seems to be a ministry of love and kindly forbearance towards an offender or an enemy that is under your power, whereas forgiveness is to give up all claim on the account or to pardon the account. Like a man gets pardon from jail. If he gets a full pardon, then he's no longer accountable, you know, and it's taken care of. Now understand, when I'm talking about being merciful, when we're talking about forgiveness, let's understand that the person that we're being merciful towards or forgiving towards them, that they are repentant. Now, the Lord is our example, and he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us, the book of 1 John tells us. So doesn't it make sense to you that if he first loved us, then if we're going to be Christ-like, we see those people that were perhaps friends, loved ones, somebody close to us, they've betrayed us, they've hurt us deeply, and a little bit of time has passed. And perhaps we can go back now and write a letter, make a telephone call, personal visit. And you don't deny what they've done is wrong, and you don't overlook what they've done is wrong. So you let them know, look, what you did is wrong. But if you're willing to repent and apologize for it, make it right, man, I want us to have fellowship again. We can't till then, but boy, it'd be great if we could. You see, that means that forgiveness must already be in your heart. Now, there have been people that have sought forgiveness of someone that they had actually wronged that person, sought forgiveness of them, the person wouldn't extend it. Why? Because the forgiveness wasn't already in their heart. And regardless of the nature of the sin, you've got to be ready to forgive that person when they come to you seeking for forgiveness. So this Pharisee, because he felt no need for forgiveness, he did not extend forgiveness or mercy to the publican. He didn't look at him as a soul that needed the salvation of the Lord. Instead, he just looked at him and said, oh no, that's not somebody we want. You know, I do not believe in compromising our standard. Our standards must be remained as strong as they ever were. We don't compromise any doctrine whatever. All truth of God is not for sale. The truth of God, any truth of God, is not to be sacrificed for worldly acceptance or any other kind of acceptance. But one of the truths of God is that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One of the truths of God is that he would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. One of the truths of God is that whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely. One of the truths of God is that he shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now think about that, my friend. You see that person that their face looks like they fell into a tackle box. They've got tattoos all over their body. You say, man, that's not the kind of person I want around my family. Don't want them around my church. They're a wild-looking person. Well, they need to get saved. They need to get saved. I can remember a couple of years ago, some old guy come on our church property, had hair halfway down his back, and there was no doubt this was the world, okay? And even come walking in with a cigar in his mouth. Well, we got that taken care of, but he come walking in with a cigar in his mouth. And so we started talking to the man, and do you know what? That man not only got right with God, but within a couple of weeks after he got right with God, I had a man come up to me in church one Sunday, and I didn't know the guy for the first 30 seconds, and I realized it was this man. He got his hair cut, had a suit on and all that. And see, he had to be cleaned in the heart before he could be cleaned on the inside.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.